Friday. Royce White's about to take over from Minnesota, but he's allowed me to come in here a little bit because I got behind and hit the Candace Owens situation that I'm going to do right now. So here's the bottom line. Everybody knows I'm not an infighter. Everybody knows I don't look for beefs with other talk show hosts. If I agree with you like 80%, 90%, I'll leave you alone. I'll say what I think you're wrong, but I'm not a drama queen, okay? So I'll be honest with listeners. I dropped the ball on Candace Owens last year or so. I heard all the stuff she was doing. I didn't really pay attention. I had other issues to deal with. Then she started doing all this stuff, you know, just constantly basically saying that TPUSA killed Charlie and that Egyptian planes and then Fort Huachuca assassination plots. So I went and looked at it all and did a lot of research and spent a lot of time. I mean, days of time I ain't got. And I said, Candace, your plane stuff's a bunch of bull. And she just ignored it. And said, well, maybe some of it's wrong. I'll put out the right number soon. But I'm not wrong. Then she says this incredible kook who's changed his name a bunch of times, Mitch Snow, was at Fort Huachuca the day before Kirk's killed in Arizona, in Utah, and says that the head of TPUSA security and this congressman, Amadei, and later Erica Kirk are there. They get into some secure skiff you can't even get into, and there's 12 colonels, and they're all meeting to do it. We looked the guy up, and he's got this huge, horrible record. And I know how assassinations work anyways. You don't have 12 colonels and all this stuff. So I go, hey, Candace, this looks really bad. A couple weeks ago, and she comes out and attacks me, and her surrogates attack me. And I say, wow, that's crazy. I mean, I think there's a cover-up with Kirk. I've been saying this since day one and broke major news on it. But I'm still sitting back just trying to do the best job I can. But I can't see lies going on and not talk about it. And then the last 48 hours, she comes out and says, no, it's not September 9th. We're not looking at alibis now for the congressman who was on C-SPAN at 11 a.m. That's 8 a.m. the time the meeting's happening, Arizona time. We're not looking at Erica Kirker's got an alibi. We're not looking at the head of TPUSA security. Her surrogate's trying to say it was a false alibi, but got proven to be right. No, now it's a plane coming in with the Undersecretary of Defense that was set up in July to inspect the border. Now it's that plane, and that's where the killers are. And then people go research Mitch Snow and get his public record with all the restraining orders and the wives and the women attacked and his own kids going on air exposing him. We're grown adults. He's this horrible con man. And she says, it's me against the world. And all these surrogates, I noticed, all have the same talking points at the same time. I remembered her like saying Kennedy was a Mossad agent and had this woman that was controlling him during his confirmation. She never delivered the goods on that. I started thinking about how she always attacked right at the right moment. I thought, she's not schizophrenic. No, I wasn't paying enough attention. She's bad. Because once I turned my eye to it, once I started looking into it, once I x-rayed it, I was like, man, she's bad. Married to some billionaire British lord for real? And then she starts saying, oh, I'm Mossad. I got the call. And then Laura Loomer swoops in, didn't deny our CIA source that she works for Chevron. And the Venezuelans, notice Laura didn't do that, comes out and says, she's my handler. You're working with Candace, aren't you? I mean, we're starting to really figure out how they're trying to game us here, aren't we? And now she's attacking her own followers, saying they're on the payroll of Israel for simply saying, why do you have a known con artist as your source, accusing Erica Kirk of murdering her husband?
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leadership, the essence of leadership is showing people how it's done so that they understand it's the right way and getting them to adopt it. And being a leader means you go against the tide when the tide is wrong. You go against the crowd when the crowd is wrong. You go against the establishment when the establishment is degenerate and sick. And then by example and by competence and by will and by strength, then the timid join you. Because then it costs nothing to be a patriot, to quote the great Mark Twain. In the beginning, the patriot is a scarce man, hated, feared, and scorned. But in time, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it cost nothing to be a patriot. The patriot is a scarce man, hated, feared, scorned. But in time, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. And when you commit to something worthy and good, it is not a weight. It is everything. It is your greatest strength. It becomes your soul to risk your life for freedom. It's what God forged you in his mind as he created your soul before he even put you in your mother's womb. He knew you. The star horse there, the great Royce White, about to explode out of the gates here. And I appreciate him letting me cut into his time as I ran out of time here. I got to cover this. All right. I don't do this with pleasure. I'm not an infighter. I don't do stunts. I'm well known for them. But Candace Owens continues to make claims about Egyptian planes and then about hit teams in Fort Huachuca and 12 colonels, and this guy wanders in, they're planning the killing of Kirk, and this congressman's there, and Erica Kirk's there, and the head of their security's there, and I spent good money getting the actual flight data, the professional data, and it's like all lies. And I published it a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks, and say, hey, I'm worried here, Candace. Her surrogates, all with the same talking points within 5 hours, attack me. I'm not dumb. When I see the same thousands of people with the same attacks, I'm like, holy hell, you wrote up a script for them and you did that. That's professional. I know professional attacks when I see them. The question is, who's paying for it? She's married to a British lord. Paul Watson, my co-host, discovered her. Had her to town 10 years ago. She's done a lot of great work. I'm not trying to destroy Candace. But I know a concerted attack when I see one. I know professionalism when I see it. Then she has this Snow character that says he just is at Fort Huachuca the day before Kirk's killed in Arizona, and he wanders into this secure skiff you can't even get into with up three levels, and there's armed guards. He walks in, there's 12 colonels, and then there's all these people. And then last week, Candace says, oh, I thought maybe this Daily Wire guy's there. She sends him a photo, and Mitch Snow says, oh, he was there too. He's like a vending machine. You just give him the name and that's it. Then it turns out he's got 5 women with restraining orders. His kids going public against him. All these name changes. All this time in prison and jail for beating up women. And they go, well, it is true, though, for the record. He was a Green Beret for 1 year. Yeah, 250-pound Green Beret. He claims these women have enslaved him and then all this. This guy is the biggest joke ever. And now her followers have come out, a bunch of them, more today, and said, I'll show you. We don't care if Mitch Snow's wrong. We back Candace. So even when they were faced with the fact this is all a lie, they say, we don't care. And they say, we're going to get all of you. Then they hide behind Ben Shapiro attacking her. Ben Shapiro attacks me. And they say, oh, you work for Israel. I never worked for the Daily Wire run by the Mossad like she did. So that's where we are. And then Kevin Kilgore, who's been one of her biggest supporters, he simply comes out and says, I've looked at this Mitch Snow, who's admitted all this, and this doesn't sound credible to me. I have a problem. Candace, we ought to drop this. And then he says, Candace, I know this is not Candace attacking me. This is a couple days ago. I know this is just, and then Candace goes, no. 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 No, Kevin. It's you. She says, hey, Evan Kilgore, out of curiosity, why were you coordinating your ex post yesterday via text with other influencers? So don't respond to Mitch Snow being complete and total fraud and liar. Attack one of your biggest minions and say he's coordinating. So we got the video. So Mitch Snow says, oh, no, mommy, I'll show you, and dumps all his texts online with the very, quote, influencers that reported back to her. How dare you sit there when this known con man says all this? How dare you ask a question? So then he releases video of himself at this place and all his text messages and who he's talking to and how he's just asking questions and concerned. But you're in a cult. You're not supposed to do that. He says, Candace, who are you talking about? What other influencers? Name names, and I'll drop the receipts. I'll screen record and post conversations with whoever you think I'm coordinating with. So again, you're not allowed to ask questions. This is getting ridiculous. I'm not playing this game. So he's like, hey, Mitch Snow's really a horrible person, and you got the congressman on C-SPAN at 11 a.m. They just put out later screenshots of him later saying, oh, look, he's there later. No, he's there at 11 a.m. She's even admitted that. And the head of TPUSA Security on a plane while this is happening. And they're getting ready to sue the hell out of her. And all he's doing is saying, this doesn't, he's like, why are we hitched up to Mitch Snow? Maybe we should stop this. You're my queen. You're my God. You're my master. And she says, oh, you were coordinating with people. It's the same story over and over again. She wants all these alibis. So Erica Kirk releases photos of her with her kids. She goes, oh, God, that proves you're guilty. I never wanted an alibi. You just demanded the alibi. You, like you're the inquisitor, like you're God, like you're the judge, jury, and executioner, like you're on the white throne. Literally demand all this, and when people give you the proof, you go, I'm not looking at the ninth now. I never said there was a secret meeting to kill Kirk. The eighth, where the Undersecretary of Defense flew in to the border base with an event declared in July. She says, it's that plane. The assassins are on that plane. She goes, these people are crazy. I showed a video yesterday. She goes, I never said it was about the ninth. I said it was about the eighth. Bullshit. You said it was all about the ninth. And she sits there and she gaslights and gaslights and gaslights and gaslights. And you're like, why am I up your ass? You said there were Egyptian planes. You said that there was a meeting to kill Kirk. And my listeners and people at the grocery store and at church and my family, or you better go look at this. So I go spend days burrowing into this stuff and find out it's all a lie. And I come out and say, Candace, I think you're being lied to. You're a wonderful person. You've been set up by Mitch Snow. No, she hadn't been set up by Mitch Snow. No. She knows every damn bit of it's a lie. And then because I have integrity and I don't sit here and make stuff up, I'm now the devil. Oh, Alex Jones is with Lockheed Martin to get me. Lockheed Martin? What I know about that? All I know is I'm banned on everything but X and Rumble, and you're boosted on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube to everybody. I remember when I first started waking up to you about 4, 5, 6 months ago, where it was, Kennedy was getting confirmed. It was Saturday morning. I was going to do a 7-8 mile hike up these hills. I go meet this Navy SEAL and his buddy. We all get out of the car at 7 a.m., and we're already all listening to Candace Owens saying Kennedy is having sex with a Mossad agent, she thinks, and with no evidence. And there's this woman with a car he gave her, and he's in the Epstein files. And we listened to it while we hiked. We go, this is all bullshit. No, she moved on from that. But it was right when he was getting confirmed. Her and her minions. Her and that guy that looks like the singer from Queen. And like, they think we're stupid. And back then I said, this doesn't make sense. But I said, right then, I said, I got a bad feeling about her. Because right, the, like an eel coming out, right when Kennedy's about to have his conversation here, and she's, yeah. And that's what she continues to do. Yeah. Like precision. And so now her own followers are like, what am I supposed to do? I mean, this guy is a literal criminal in prison for beating up women, smashing their skulls in, all these name changes, his military record, fraud, everything a lie. And then she goes, I didn't say there was any meeting on the 9th. That's insane. I didn't say a congressman was there or Kirk's wife or the head of TPUSA security. It's all about a plane with the Undersecretary of Defense flying to do border security. She goes, and by the way, Mitch is such a genius, he even named in the interview who's at Fort Huachuca. She goes, he knows the units. It's on the sign. We put a report. Pull up Fort Huachuca's entrance sign. It says the units on the fucking sign. It'd be like going to L.A. Lakers basketball game and going, now, this intel's good because this guy told me the L.A. Lakers play right here. I mean, it is like the insult, or going to Dallas and saying, oh, at this, you know, the Dallas Cowboys play here, and when I got there, they're playing. So now they move to the 8th. And say, oh, the undersecretary flew in for border inspections. Who was on that plane? She's like, she's like, you're crazy. I don't care about the 9th. She goes, I don't want alibis. What are you talking about? Erica Trump just flew 2 weeks ago on an airplane to kiss your ass in Tennessee and asked you to stop doing this and gave you all this then. So now your own minions say, listen, we're not endorsing this criminal, this horrible person. And you say, who coordinated you? Who told you? And the guy clicks his heels and goes, I'll release everything on my phone, mommy. I'll show you, mommy. Let me give Candace Owens a little newsflash here. Bitch, you don't fucking sit up there on some hill and tell me who ate the cabbage. You don't sit there and tell me what to give you or what to do. You are suspect. You have the left boosting you, the left loving you, the left promoting you with your royal husband who we're about to expose. So get ready for that, George. So we figured you out. We got your number, and you can't stand the fact that you've run this big psyop and now it's coming to an end. This isn't about protecting TPUSA or Trump or anybody. It's about protecting the truth. And it's about us not sitting there dancing to the Pied Piper's lie of what you've done. I broke on the 16th from two sources in the White House that were scared to tell us that Cash Patel said, I don't want Tulsi Gabbard's information about domestic or foreign help they had intel on. That's real. And it came out a month later. That's real stuff, lady. Not some crazy scammer, stolen valor fraud, beating up all these women in prison for it with a fake name, telling you that they're all in this kill meeting. You even know about kill meetings? They got 12 colonels and everybody's roped in from security and their dog knowing about it. That's not how it works. In real killings, they just go, and there's like two people in the room. Just day one, I knew it was bull. And all your minions with their talking points and obvious big funding to do this, I love it because I'm coming after all of you. Because the only way the Democrats can try to take this country down is by infighting and by infiltrating and by opening the drawbridge to the barbarians. And it's not going to happen. The truth is, we've won the fight for America First, the Republican Party. We're driven out the Shapiros. We're driving out the Levins. That's all happening. And then we get this flank attack from Candace Owens telling us today, I don't think there's radical Islam. I don't think the Somalis are a problem. All right on time. It's Democrat talking points. It's Democrat tactics. I'm mad at myself that I didn't open up on our ass whenever Kennedy was getting approved. I remember looking at my guys because it was pushed on all of us. Imagine, we all got out of the car. It was everywhere. It was pushed by everything. We all got out of the car, and we're all listening to the same thing because it was all pushed on us. So we hiked hours and listened to this 2 hours of bullshit about Kennedy and a Mossad honeypot and all this stuff and how he's with Epstein, and none of it was true, but it was right there in his confirmation. I remember saying to them, like I said, I got to investigate her now. I got a bad feeling. I didn't have a bad feeling. God gave me a good brain. I already knew. I dropped the ball. I apologize. She's a globalist agent. I dropped the ball, and I failed you, and I'm sorry. I got to follow my gut every time. It's never wrong. And I saw so much more she did. And I love her people threatening me and all their doxing of people and all that. You think that's going to make me go away? All you did was wake me up like a nuclear test site waking up Godzilla. So just get your asses ready, because you want a war. I want your war. I want it all. I want the doxing. I want the lies. I want the attacks. I'm going to take you on, because you work for the deep state and the Democratic Party and the CIA and MI6. And I see your ass. So you just get ready. This ain't my first rodeo. And I've got to focus. I focus so much on the big players. I don't focus on the little foxes that spoil the grapes, as the Bible tells us. So here's my bottom line. Candace Owens has endorsed a man with dozens of restraining orders, with fake names, admitting in court he bashes women's heads in. And she's his source. That at Fort Huachuca, you got all these TPUSA people with 12 colonels planning the murder of Charlie Kirk. And she tries to say she never said that. We got the compilations, dumbass. We got you saying it. You're a bad person. And I can't believe I've got to spend my time on this type of crap. We'll deal with TPUSA and whatever happened in Cash Patel with the cover-up. That's all going on. But the perfect way to cover up what really went on is this type of stuff you do. This Fort Huachuca and all this other stuff. And you got the guy, you know, you say is not the shooter. They said it's a beautiful young man. He's up there with his trans flag tie on, smiling. Pull up Tyler Robinson, the only video we got. Laughing, smiling, look like it's the devil himself. Did he have help? Hell yeah. We know at least 10 trannies said in 3 days before he'll be dead the day he comes there. We're not saying don't look at the investigation. What we're saying is your people have the same talking point. She's the only one investigating. Lies. So we're done with the cult of Candace Owens. So you want to play chicken with me? Don't worry. You ain't got a way to get off the road. Let me tell you how this game of chicken works. You ain't allowed to turn the wheel. I'm gonna 100% come after you with the truth, and so just get your shit ready. Because you want a war, you better believe you got one. I see your ass, and I am so pissed off at myself that I saw this, and my gut told me to go after you during Kennedy's confirmation, and I didn't do it because you're a woman. And that's why the left puts women in all these positions to do all this evil shit, because men have this proclivity to not go to war with women. That's why they've done this whole unnatural thing. But I love it here. Your own Evan Kilgore, one of your biggest glazers, just simply said, hey, I got questions. And you came out and said, oh, you're on the payroll. You're getting paid. You better believe whatever Mitch Snow says. And then he releases all the videos. He releases screenshots of him simply asking questions. That's how you spin it. Erica Kirk releases screenshots with her kids to respond to you. You spin it, oh, it's secret. It's all blah, blah, blah. Oh, God. Oh. It's disgusting. And then your followers, we're going to get you. You're a failure. We're going to take your sponsors. You're over. Oh, please. You just lit up like a plane coming in for a landing. The airfield lit up for me. I'm like, that's where I go is where the attacks are. And so you run around and scurry all day long. But I was fighting the globalists. Most of you were in diapers or a twinkle in your mommy's eye. And all I can tell you is Candace Owens is totally mentally ill and has a handler, or is a super evil globalist. That's it. And I'm done. I'm done playing games. I'm done with half measures. You guys have made your threats. Fill your hand. Let's go. Let's go. Because I'm not going to sit here and watch you engage in this type of insane crap. You don't know anything. When I immediately saw that kook ball and him saying, I walk into a room in a skiff. You don't get in those. They got armed guards and scanners and pass cards and all this. And he walks in with 12 colonels. They don't have 12 colonels for an assassination. It's all horse crap. All of it. And then and as soon as they have their alibis, they're on C-SPAN. Oh, well, he was there later. No, he's there at 11 a.m. And your own cult followers don't respond to the facts. You just say, Jones is bullying a woman, and Jones is trying to ostracize her with psychological warfare. No, she puts out lies that I'm forced to go research, and I'm forced to go look at. And then when it's a lie, I nicely say, this is a lie. And just like Evan Kilgore, I'm immediately accused of being a traitor. Because I will not sit here and listen to your lies. So your own cult members are leaving you, and you're accusing them of being given talking points to counter you when the talking points against you are you, Candace. You know, when the Macron sued her, and I mean, I tell you, Brigitte Macron looks like a man to me. I said, hey, she's the right to say it. I back her. But when you accuse a congressman randomly out of a hat through your minion of being at some hit meeting and all these other people, I'm just like, what are you doing? You can't do that. All right. Royce White for the next hour and a half takes over. Be sure and follow him on his sites. This is a great job. I appreciate him letting me come in here. I didn't get to China and all the stuff they're up to and the rest of it. I'll be back 11 a.m. tomorrow. But I know this. I'm not boosted on. I might be allowed on all these channels, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. I don't want to hear all this anti-establishment. I'm the establishment. She's the establishment. And I hate to have to do this, but, you know, she's accused me of working with Lockheed Martin, all this horse shit. So, lady, you want us to take a known con artist, beating all these women, putting them in the hospital, you know, in jail for it, and you want us to buy your chili? We're not doing it. Royce White takes over on the other side of this break. I hate to have to get in the middle of this, but she's causing major harm to our movement to save the Republic with a bunch of damn lies. And I look at the cut of this attack. Looks very sophisticated. Looks like CIA to me. Or MI6. That's why it's my opinion, but I think she's working for MI6 with Obama's group. They moved to London. We know. I think Obama is directing her. That's my opinion. We'll be right back. I'm going to say this right now. We have survived and battled the federal and state courts, the Democratic Party, the whole nine yards. And we have great products, and I appreciate all your support. But 70%+ of the money that comes in is the legal cost. If we didn't have those battles going, we'd be 24 hours a day, as I've always planned, and totally kicking ass. But it's part of the cost of the fight in this information war, and I appreciate you keeping us here. But with everything going on, we've got about a $300,000 underage right now and need to have the money for payroll and bandwidth and all the things we're doing. This is, and it's not a Chicken Little thing or the sky's falling or boy, you're crying wolf. You've seen the attacks. You've seen the news. You've seen us battling. You know, God, you know, pulls us out right at the last minute. And I know we're going to get massive support of the successful shutting this down. People are going to be, whoa. But regardless, the products are insane. But at InfoWarsStore.com, with the bankruptcy and the receiver, they don't let us get a lot of new product, all that. We have the collectible limited edition Save InfoWars posters. We have a chance at an auction next month with the state. If they don't let it be a real auction, the good guys can't buy InfoWars, we'll be shut down. And I just want to fight to the end, and whatever happens, happens. But we have the collectible posters for $25, unsigned, $100 signed. That's a lot of money, I know. It's, the point is, it's a fundraiser. You're opting in to do that. It's beautiful posters, three of them. But if you want to just give a straight donation, on the front page of InfoWarsStore.com, you can just give a straight donation. The credit card fees are like 4% for us, and then we get 96% of the money to actually run the operation. So we're winning in court. We're having a lot of big effects. I'm not going to spend hours explaining it all to you, but we're down to the last round here right now, and we need the funds. And you know the show delivers the truth. It has a major effect. We influence the White House, creating a lot of good stuff happening. It's a valuable thing in the info war to keep on air. So go to InfoWarsStore.com, and I'm asking you humbly for a straight donation, $5, $50, $100. Give a straight donation if you want, or if you want one of the posters, signed or unsigned, as a memento that you stood up for the Republic at a key time. We got a little bit of the fish oil back in, a little bit of the bodies back in. That's selling out quickly. The receiver let us do that. But none of this goes to the plaintiffs. None of this goes to the bad guys. It's literally in the red right now, okay, with what we got projected in the next month. I need the funds now. Please make a donation. This is the critical time. TheAlexJonesShore.com is not owned by me. If InfoWars gets shut down, that's our sponsor for the new network that's already been built, but it's also funding InfoWars, and there's not enough coming in. So you can support either way. TheAlexJonesShore.com, the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, all the t-shirts, that's great. But if you want to straight up support, know it all goes to it, make a donation or get one of the posters at InfoWarsStore.com. It's up to you. Please take action now.
Wake up in a world trying to drain your light. Screams got you numb, keep you foggy at night. They want you tired, unfocused, slow. But I crack the code, now the voltage flows. Clean energy, no crash, no fade. Mind sharp like a blade when the system plays games. From the gym to the grind to the war for your mind to say, luck, nah, this is designed. Ultimate.
Something even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Say you become Minnesota's next U.S. Senator.
Yes.
Would you work across party lines to accomplish change?
There are no party lines anymore.
But what do you mean by that?
There are no party lines. There are only patriots and nationalists and globalists. But there are no party lines.
But there are still senators from different party perspectives.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, on for the theater.
So are you willing to...
There aren't a handful of America First, unbought and paid for United States senators in the entire United States Senate.
How about this? How would you collaborate with counterparts?
Tell the truth. I'm not collaborating with traitors. I'm not collaborating with, and some people would say, well, that makes you unqualified to run for the office. The prerequisite is that you have to become enmeshed in the corruption of the machine in order to be a viable candidate. And I think that's what's wrong with American political culture, is that we expect our candidates to sell out, but then we tell them not to.
Collaboration is selling out?
If the collaboration is to undermine the fabric of this country and the value of citizenship, for sure.
I'm thinking about like writing bills and like...
Where do you think the selling out of this nation happens?
Okay, fair, fine. All right, I clearly you have issue with the system.
For sure.
Okay.
I have huge issues with the system. I have huge issues with omnibus bills. I have huge issues with the special interests and lobby money in D.C., I have a huge issue with the fact that it's a conventional prerequisite that a United States Senate candidate has to have pre-committed to a lobby of a special interest and lobby to have any chance of raising the money necessary to win one of these campaigns. I object to all of that.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Honored to be back again on this Sunday evening. I'm starting to make a habit of these Sunday evenings. I appreciate Alex for having me on, allowing me to guest host. It's always a blast, and I'm always happy to connect with the InfoWars audience, one of the most spiritually alive audiences in all of the world. And we got a great show lined up today. Apropos to my comment there on a PBS Frontline interview, we released a full unedited interview. And people like PBS, they like to call you up and say, hey, we're doing a project. We think we're going to release it after the election. Oh, no, you're not. We're going to bring a camera crew. We're going to record the entire interview ourselves, and we're going to be releasing it in full when anytime we feel like it. And if PBS wants to pick a fight about the release of it, then we would gladly invite that. We'd more like to see PBS put the full interview up on their platforms, but we know that the globalists don't like conversations like the one I was just having with this gentleman, so we don't hold our breath and wait for that. However, apropos to what I was saying in the clip, there are no more party lines. I mean, obviously, there are party lines. I don't mean it literally. I mean it sort of literally. You know, yeah, there are party lines. When you go into the polls come 2026, come the midterms, coming up here in a year from now, close to a year from now, when you go to the polls, you'll get your ballot, standard ballot, and in most states, you're going to have the usual suspects, you know, Democrat Party, Republican Party, Independent, marijuana, Libertarian, the whole gamut. So there are party lines, but we know that the party lines are mostly theater. We're smart enough, we're wise to the game because of people like Alex Jones and the Steve Bannons and all these other patriots who had the courage to stand up and say, you know what, enough of the theater, enough of the window dressing, enough of the WWE, enough of the politics with French fries, enough of this drive through American political business. We're going to get down to the nuts and bolts. We're going to say what it actually is. This is what it actually is. There are no more party lines, meaning that the two competing interests in our nation right now are people who believe in this country and want to have a country. First, we have to save the country, and people who don't believe in this country. We'll separate them into people who are patriots and people who are anti-American. And along those same lines, you tend to find people who are what we would describe as nationalists or globalists. You got your nationalist patriots versus the globalists. It's like the Harlem Globetrotters in reverse. Harlem Globetrotters versus the Washington Generals. Now that I look back at the Harlem Globetrotters versus the Washington Generals, I think that might have been a wink and nod to the globalist agenda there, even in the entertainment business. We're going to flip that. We're the Harlem Globetrotters, but we're nationalists. And we are here to win. Now, in the Republican Party, we've mostly been the Washington Generals. We show up to the game every single night. We have uniforms. You know, we have a full team. There's a coach. There's the presentation that we're here to play a square game. But everybody knows. Everybody knows. And I'm not even going to go into the Rhino establishment Republican Party tonight, because we have way too much to talk about with Tim Walz and the Somali fraud. And we're gonna hammer it home. There's one word that comes to mind to describe 2026 for myself personally. It's providence. So the earliest days of me coming on Alex Jones here on InfoWars, the guest host, and my own show on Real America's Voice, War Room with Steve Bannon, even Jason Whitlock, Minneapolis is the belly of the beast. Minneapolis, Minnesota, the belly of the beast. Providential that one of the few United States Senate candidates in the history of our great nation that is willing to put belt to ass against this globalist agenda is now walking into the 2026 midterms with what might be the single greatest fraud and scam in the entire country. That's providence. That's the only way to describe it. It's providential. Providential. Been here fighting since 2022. Tried to go up against Ilhan Omar and the Somali cabal. And I was railroaded by the Republican establishment and turned around and they said, you need to run for a smaller office. How about you go and run for city council or mayor? Or how about you get on the school board and build yourself up? And that's what they hit you with. They hit you with, you know, the slow walk, the snail progression, what Barack Obama called incrementalism. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to go to a statewide election. We're going to go from a congressional district election to a statewide election because I need a better sample size of Minnesota Republicans. I want to diagnose. I want to test just where the majority of Minnesota Republicans are. And we did that in 2024. And we found that the Minnesota Republicans are by and large MAGA. That the MAGA movement has won in Minnesota. And it's significant. It's not nothing. The fact that the Minnesota Republicans leaned MAGA, tilted MAGA for the first time in a long time, and let's say tilted toward the grassroots, tilted toward the more conservative, tilted toward the further right wing of the Republican voters, of the Republican party. The fact that Minnesota's Republicans tilted MAGA says that the entire country is having a renaissance, an awakening right now, and I love it. I love every minute of it. I'm contemptuous towards the people, and if you listen to that clip and the rest of the PBS interview, what I'm mostly saying is exactly what Alex has been saying for many years, is we've allowed this. The American people, American citizens, regardless of party, we don't even have to talk about party, American citizens have allowed the progression, the metastasization of this globalist agenda. It's on us. We have to be responsible. We're going to name names. We're going to talk about the influence of AIPAC and the Muslim Brotherhood and everybody else in between. Beijing. We're going to talk about everybody who is culpable. We're going to name names. But in the end, we have to take responsibility for this country, for this nation, our role. Our willingness to trade our freedom for security and convenience. We have to take that responsibility. And luckily for all of us living in this time, we're starting to take that responsibility. We're finally starting to take that responsibility. We're finally starting to step up to the plate and say, you know what? Enough is enough. That's who Nick Shirley is. Nick Shirley is a young man who looks at American politics and thinks to himself, President Trump loses by, 100,000 votes there in Minnesota. And then we hear about all this Somali fraud to the tune of $10 billion. And we ask ourselves, if the money is that fraudulent, if there's $10 billion in fraud that just flew under the radar, what makes us think the elections are secure? Nick Shirley does what a good patriotic citizen would do. He gets on a plane or in a car or however he got here, and he goes straight to the front door of the corruption. Straight to the front door. Literally. Door to door. Respect this young man. I don't know much about him. I don't know much about him. I don't know anything about him, really, other than he's doing exactly what American citizens should do. Independent journalist, independent investigator, going right up to the building and saying, what's going on here? Knocking on the door. What is going on here? Where are these children? Where are these children? It's long been a whisper in Minnesota and in Minnesota politics that the Somali community has defrauded the state government, the state system, and the federal system through child care programs, long been whispered in Minnesota. Now you ask yourself, why your Republican establishment, who by all standard measures knows about this fraud, why they're not standing up on a soapbox? Why didn't they go to these establishments? Why aren't they going door to door? It's the same reason they would tell me not to run against Ilhan Omar and CD5. This is the quiet part out loud. I hate to do this on the front end. We're going to talk about the Somali fraud because it's as deep as you could imagine. And $10 billion isn't the cap at all. I mean, we are in a titanic moment with the fraud in Minnesota. a true Titanic iceberg moment. What we've uncovered so far is nothing compared to what we're going to uncover down the line here. If we continue on the beat and on the scent, and if people continue to investigate and call for the truth, we're going to invest it. This thing is going to be $20 billion before it's all said and done. When it first started, people said, oh, feeding our future, oh, a couple hundred million. Well, you know, it's a lot of money, but it's a lot of money, but what? $500 million is dropping the bucket. I guess when your Department of Defense loses $2 trillion, people start to get numb to the math, to the numbers. But even the $500 million was obscene. Then it was a couple billion, and then it was of the $18 billion that was frauded in Medicare, over $9 billion was specifically in the Somali community. Then you got Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, if we can pull that video up. Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, in the wake of the fraud, doubles down, triples down, and goes and does a hostage video with the Somali leaders. Look, there it is. And they're right up in your face with it. This is what Alex Jones is saying when he says it's not incompetence. The one error that Mr. Shirley is making is this is incompetence. No, this isn't incompetence. This is Tim Walz's lieutenant governor, who is currently slated to run against me as the United States Senate Democrat nominee, endorsed United States Senate Democrat nominee. This is the lieutenant governor who has been in the administration while the fraud is taking place, and she has the audacity to run a Somali Islamic hostage campaign video in the smoldering flames of one of the greatest frauds in the history of the state of Minnesota. You know what they call that? That's called brazen. That's called bold. Oh, the audacity. What she's really saying is, it doesn't matter how much money we steal. It doesn't matter how much money is frauded. It doesn't matter, because the end justifies the means. As long as diversity, equity, and inclusion is the dominant philosophy of American politics, the dominant philosophy of the Democrat Party, you're going to keep voting for us no matter how much money we steal, because in your mind, we have sold it that this is the necessary measure to defeat the fascists and the Christo nationalists and the MAGA Trump supporters and the Republicans and the white supremacists and everybody else, the Uncle Toms. This is what we need in order to be victorious. Now, I would hope that some of the Democrats here in Minnesota still have enough sacred honor to look at the fraud, look at what's going on, look at the pandering from a Peggy Flanagan, Irish, Native American Catholic, wearing a hijab to pander for Somali Muslim votes. I would hope that there are still enough Democrats left in the state of Minnesota that for once in the last, I don't know, 30 years, we will see a landslide victory for myself and the great Mike Lindell for Minnesota governor. I would hope that's the outcome in 2026. Still got to get the election secure. We know that. Still got to get the voter rolls cleaned. We know that. But I would hope that the party lines have become distinguishable enough for us to realize that in Minnesota, this might be the greatest example that the two parties have worked together to steal money from the American people right under your nose, right under your nose. If you're in Minnesota, if you're in the Twin Cities, you go down to our capital, beautiful St. Paul, our beautiful capital city of St. Paul, and some of the back streets of downtown St. Paul, some of the historic districts, they got the beautiful cobblestone roads and the Victorian architecture. And you go a drive down, you got that beautiful cathedral up there on Cathedral Hill. And right across the parkway, you have the Minnesota History Museum. And then on the other side, you have the Minnesota State Capitol. And right around the corner from the Minnesota State Capitol is drug-infested homelessness and crime. You go downtown, another few blocks from the Minnesota State Capitol, and they have this huge, huge Dorothy Day homeless shelter. It's like a city. And the streets of St. Paul are never quiet, except for in the winter. And, you know, and the winter is quiet all over Minnesota because it's freezing cold. Hence, I got the coat going tonight. But in the summer, the city of St. Paul, downtown St. Paul, never sleeps. There's never a quiet moment. There's always a ruckus. There's always crime. There's always fights. There's always drunkenness. There's all. And my point is, these are your tax dollars. And if you want to say that we have to help everybody everywhere at all times, that that's the duty of the American people, to you I say, go screw yourself. We're not into empathomania. We're not going to be suicidally empathetic in this country. And we're wise to the fact that there is a sinister force who has convinced a certain population, a certain demographic in America, that we should be suicidally empathetic, that we should, in effect, destroy ourselves in an attempt to save everybody else. It's funny, I hate flying on airplanes, but even on an airplane, you know, before you take off, the flight attendant comes through and says to you, you know, they run the emergency video and they say, before you try and help anybody else, please secure your own oxygen mask in the event of an emergency. You know why? Because if you don't secure your own oxygen first and you pass out, it's just another dead weight body in the way during an emergency. And somehow, I mean, this Democrat Party, the Peggy Flanagans of the world, the Tim Waltzes of the world have convinced us that we should secure everybody else's oxygen mask before our own, especially the people who fit the diversity, equity, and inclusion prototype. Well, you know, Ilhan Omar, she's great. We love Ilhan Omar. No, we don't. When President Trump said Ilhan Omar is garbage, he was absolutely correct. She is. And the Somalis who are perpetrators of this fraud, they're garbage too. Is it every single Somali? Of course not. That's ridiculous. It's the same way every single Trump supporter isn't racist, but they have no problem with that generalization. They have no problem with saying white Christian men are a threat to the stability of our nation. They have no problem saying black heterosexual Christian conservative men are a danger to this nation. They have no problems making general comments about entire demographics of people when it suits their political agenda. But as soon as we say it, oh, you're a xenophobe, you're racist, you're a bigot. Well, guess what? You can call us what you want. But right now, what you have to admit is we were right. I've been saying on my show for a while now, we're not the far right. We're not the extreme right. We're not the radical right. We're not the far right. We're not, you know, we're not the white supremacist right. We're not any of that. We're just right. Just right. When it came to Somali fraud, we were just right. When it came to Tim Walz being an incompetent governor, we were a little off. Seems that it's not incompetence. Seems intentional. But we were in the right area. When it came to COVID-19, we were right. When it came to the vaccines, we were right. When it came to 2020 election fraud, the fraud of the 2020 election, we were right. When we said something doesn't smell right about Fannie Pack Willis, we were right. The one we didn't really get any definitive closure on is the extra marital gay affair that Nancy Pelosi's husband was having with the guy with the hammer there. But, you know, that's kind of inconsequential anyway. And we didn't harp on it because at the end of the day, you know, it's a story, but it's not the story. The story is right here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, when thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars go missing, it's theft. When millions of dollars go missing, it's fraud. When billions of dollars go missing, it's foreign policy. And that's what you're looking at. Now, on the other side of the break, I'm going to break down. We're going to go back in history. We're going to go back down memory lane to the early 1960s and 70s and the 90s there in Somalia, even back to 2004, if memory serves me correctly, where we propped up an Ethiopian force to go in and take Somalia. And all of these wars and refugee immigrations and government subsidies and federal programs and diversity, equity, inclusion, and Ilhan Omar, she's so good for the country. We want to have equal representation of all peoples, and we all love each other. Put our hands together. Let's sing Kumbaya. All of that, and yet Somalia is still number one, numero uno on the instability, the Unstable Nations Index. Somalia is number one most unstable country in the entire world. Just let that sink in. If that doesn't vindicate us, if that doesn't vindicate America first, if that doesn't vindicate changing our foreign policy, if that doesn't vindicate us saying, we can't be in charge of the entire world. We can't help everybody else, certainly not before we help ourselves. If this situation in Minnesota, where we have a disproportionate amount of Somali fraud to the tune of tens of billions of dollars, yet Somalia is still the most unstable country in the entire world, then you're probably a globalist. Then you don't have to ask me what I mean by nationalists and globalists. If you think there's even a remotely appropriate explanation for how we've spent all this time and energy and money on this one country, and they're still the most unstable nation in the world, you're probably in on the scam yourself. Royce White, your guest host for the next hour, here on the Alex Jones Show, Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. It's an honor to be here with you. Stay tuned. On the other side of the break, we come back. We're going to talk about the history of Somalia and how these refugees got here in the first place. We'll be right back.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWars.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, make no peace with evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, get a tube, or you get them for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters, and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars, Sunday Night Live. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. The belly of the beast, we have to say it three times. Belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Providential. You might get the most hardcore U.S. Senate candidate in recent memory of our great nation on the tail end of what might be one of the most fraudulent scandals, one of the most fraudulent scams in our nation's history. When it's all said and done, from one group of people, one community of people, under one governor, under one term in office, this might go down as one of the biggest frauds in American history. Providential. Going into the 2026 midterms, I heard that Alex Jones said that he may come to Minnesota. I can't wait. We're going to get Alex in the studio. Feel free to record Alex Jones Show right here in the studio. You can have my seat. It'd be an honor. Maybe we'll do a podcast or something else while I was here. But I'll go door to door with you. I can't wait till you get here, Alex. You call me up. I'm going door to door with you. And that's what we have to do. That has to be the new modus operandi of the MAGA movement and the America First movement, and by way of the Republican Party. The new MO is, we're not going to sit back and wait for ABC, you know, or MSNBC or any of these other globalist captured media outlets to tell us our marching orders, to tell us where the fraud and corruption is. We're not going to wait for Fox News to call the election on election night. Never forget 2020. We'll be taking your apology whenever you're ready there, Fox News. We'll be taking your formal apology about 2020 anytime you get ready. But this is the new MO. We have to be out there in the streets. Let's pull up the video, you know, and again, to understand what we're dealing with here. I want the video of the Somalis who are all but bragging. They can say it's a joke. They can say they're joking around. It's funny. First of all, it ain't funny. It ain't funny. And I'll be saying this as well. You better make sure your immigration status is on the up and up. Let's just put that on out there. I know a lot of Somalis here in Minnesota. A lot of Somalis in the Republican Party that support President Trump, support me. And I tell them the same as I tell my own black community. The time for favorites is over. There are no more favorites. When I say there are no more party lines, I mean the same when it comes to ethnicity or race or color or any of that. You know, there is no more favoritism. There's just the American people, the American citizens, the value of American citizenship, the future of this great republic, and that's it. On the other side of this break here, we're gonna come back with a few of those videos. We're gonna play them again. I was just in awe, even watching some of them myself here in the studio. Of course, we have the most expensive cars on the back of the American taxpayer, bragging about it right out in the open. And you wonder, when Tim Walz sees that, what does he think? He thinks, job well done. It's the system is working exactly as we want it to. We're going to drop the hammer now. That's what has to happen in this country. All across this country, we need to drop the hammer on the corruption. Hell, I even hear that there was a lawsuit filed today with the FEC about Amy Klobuchar allegedly smurfing campaign contributions to the tune of $9.5 million, dropping the bucket of $18 billion. But for a single United States Senate candidate, $10 million smurfing donations? Not confirmed, alleged. Minnesota, ground zero, belly of the beast. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. We'll be back right on the other side of a brief break. Stay tuned.
Treats meals just right. Cook strong at high heat with a taste so bright. So get yourself to the Alex Jones store. Support the crew and the Info War.
Wake up, folks. Spread this message. The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation.
Don't worry. It's safe and effective. Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
I'm a Minnesota Somalian. Of course I live in a big house funded by United States taxpayers.
I'm a Minnesota Somalian. Of course we have the most luxurious cars.
I'm Minnesota Somali. I'm champion border. Hi.
I'm a Minnesota Somalian. Of course I married my sister to come here.
I'm a Minnesota Somalian. Of course I tell the government I feed 3,000 kids for no reason.
Did you get the bill yet?
Hey, of course I'm a Minnesota Somalian. Of course we live in Minneapolis, nigga.
Hey, get the...
One.
I'm a Minnesota Somalian. Of course I got 12 siblings. I don't even know half of their names.
One.
I'm a Minnesota Somali. Of course Minnesota Somalia was promised us 3,000 years ago.
Hi, Trump. I'm back. So much.
Ha, you work all day. You don't got sh. Thank you for working so hard so I can be home all day. Free. I can use my EBT. Go to work for me, white boy. White girl. Yeah. Go to work for me, you white animals. Work for me. Yeah, you work for me. And the U.S. government is the... They work for me. All of you work for me. Now go to work. Pay them taxes. Take care of me and my people. All right? This is my land. I control this place. This is my reality. You all gonna be enchained. I'm gonna lock all you guys up if you don't pay your taxes. You better pay your taxes.
Proud to be a freeloader. I get everything for free while you work 50 hours a week. Ha ha, boo boo. So money is taken.
My biggest fear in life is that this man may never witness our full takeover. Yes, he may never witness that. He already witnessed our partial takeover, our little success in America.
And that's the reality, folks. That is the reality. People say, well, the America First movement. Such a dangerous ideology, such a dangerous philosophy. America First, what does it really mean? Does it mean America only? I would say so. Given the circumstances, yeah. Given what I just witnessed there. And it'd be one thing if it was said in humor and there wasn't $10 billion of fraud, conservatively, leaking out of the Minnesota state government. That'd be a whole different situation. But when I see a cultural sentiment from a young Somali man who brags and jokes about making white Americans, and when he says white Americans, it's really a dog whistle for all Americans. He's saying white because it's culturally accepted to say, go to work for me, white boy. But he means all you black citizens out there that are going to work and paying your taxes. He means all you working class Latinos who are here legally. He's telling you to go to work and pay your taxes so he can live free off of the government. He's just saying white boy because it's accepted. It's acceptable, culturally accepted. And I wonder, I ask myself, if my son got caught, if I caught my son on TikTok saying something or doing something that disgusting, would everybody in the audience be okay with me going upside his head? Because I would, regardless of how anybody else felt about it. Regardless of how anybody else felt about it, if I caught my son saying something so disgusting and ridiculous, jokingly, it's not really a joke when it ends up being the truth, but even if he thought it was humorous, I'd go upside his head because it's an affront to his own, his own sacred honor, his own citizenship. But where is this young man's parents? Are they okay with him saying this? Where is the disavowalment from the Somali community, the Somali leaders, the same leaders that you saw there with Peggy Flanagan? And maybe this is what we should do next, Mr. Shirley, Nick Shirley. Maybe we should bring this video of this young man to the Somali community leaders and say, what do you think about what this young man is saying? Is this a community-wide sentiment in the Somali community? Is this a community-wide sentiment that the rest of the American taxpayers, the American citizens and American taxpayers, are nothing more than the slaves of these Somali immigrants? I think we would be shocked to find out that there are some, if not many, Somali leaders in the community who actually do think this is an appropriate, you know, an appropriate comment to make. And see, it all harkens back to their baseline philosophy. The baseline philosophy of diversity, equity, and inclusion is America as a subset of the British Empire and colonialism deserve to be destroyed. The ironic thing, the shocking thing culturally is that there seems to be a lot of Americans who don't come from these places that agree with their own self-destruction. There is a real nihilism and sadomasochism in liberal white America. And I talked about it this Saturday on my show, and I said that I'm offended when I see videos of liberal white women or leftist white women or really more or less just freaky, kinky, strange white women making their white boyfriends or white husbands or clients. Maybe they're into some type of sexual fetish, professional agreement, whatever the case may be. But it makes me sick to my stomach as a black man to see white women force white men to get down on all fours and kiss the shoes of black men. It's disrespectful. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. It's disrespectful. It's disrespectful and disgusting and dehumanizing to him, which it's intended to be. But it also drafts black men into the sick sort of world history warping of their political philosophy. And don't draft me into your sick, twisted cosplay. I don't need anybody to get down on all fours and kiss my feet because of some victim narrative that they're teaching in the liberal universities. And you could say, oh, that's an anomaly. The point is, it shouldn't even be culturally accepted. How is it? How is it that I get suspended from social media? I get a strike on YouTube. I get suspended on X even after Elon Musk took over. I get suspended on Facebook for talking about COVID or saying the word tranny. But it's not pornographic and inappropriate to have videos of white men getting down on all fours, kissing the feet of black men at the behest of their white girlfriends or wives or whoever. I mean, look what we've done to this country. And they really believe it. The sick and twisted part is the people who run the Democrat Party, the intellectual thought leaders, they really believe in suicidal empathy. They believe we should concede the destruction of this nation and our citizenship, the value of our citizenship alongside it because of this this academic narrative that they're teaching about the history of the world. And it's so selective. I say this all the time. The greatest representation of modern colonialism is America giving our sons and daughters and our taxpayer money to defend the territorial integrity of Europe. That's the greatest example of colonialism. All of these liberal academics, oh, white supremacy, white people have been a scourge on the earth. They've decimated these marginalized peoples, blacks and browns and Asians and everybody else. White man bad, as Ilhan Omar said, white man bad. But she's willing to sign her vote in the Congress to give more funding to Ukraine to defend the territorial integrity of said colonial empire. And they want you to believe it. They just think you're stupid. They think you're good little sheep. And it's sad to say, unfortunately, you know, given recent elections, the outcome of recent elections, or let's say the consensus, the cultural consensus from recent elections, and I'm still seeing it today. I'm still watching. Just tune in every once in a while. Tune into MSNBC, CNN, ABC, the New York Times, The Guardian. They're still at it. Even after President Trump won and had a mandate from the American people, they pretended like they were going to ease off of the Trump derangement syndrome for a moment. And they let the smoke clear from the incredible defeat they suffered. And now they're right back at it. It's all about the Epstein files. And, the Epstein files is important, not a nothing issue, not something we're going to skim over by any means. And we're not afraid to say that Jeffrey Epstein was an Israeli asset. Why? I mean, you can look at he and the former prime minister were meeting about backdoor arms deals to get arms to the Russians or there's all kinds of stuff linking Jeffrey Epstein to Israel. Now, was he a formal Mossad agent? I mean, who would ever know that? Where would we have to even go to get that kind of information? But we're not going to skim over it. We're also not going to skim over the fact that CIA and MI6 might be involved. Or the Five Eyes as a whole. Or even some of your Gucci Bedouins there. And this is the great gaffe. Let's stop pretending that we have this, jump ball, this geopolitical religious jump ball between Christians and Muslims and Jews. Oh, no. A lot of those Gucci Bedouins there in the Middle East and in the Arab world are right there in business with Israel themselves. And don't put it past them to be involved in a joint operation of intelligence with a person like a Jeffrey Epstein or whoever else. But this audience gets that. I mean, this audience gets that you can trust nobody. Hell, don't trust me. You just watch my actions. You watch the things I'm willing to say, and even more importantly, the things I'm willing to do and the lengths I'm willing to go to fight for the freedom of this republic. You watch me. You don't trust me. You watch. You watch and you listen intently. So we're not skipping over anything that President Trump has or has not done in the first year of this second term. But we do see the selectiveness with which the Democrat Party and the mainstream liberal media continues to try and gaslight us. You don't like white men. We get it. We get it. You got a huge problem with white men, and it's an easy story to sell. It's easy to tell blacks and Somalis and Latinos and Asians and Jews even in some respects. It's easy to tell everybody in America that their problem is white men. Well, we're not buying it. Sorry. Sorry, I'm not sorry. I'm not buying it. As a black man, I'm just not buying it. Is there plenty of blame to go around with some white men in this country's recent history and long history? Of course. Of course. We're not skipping over that either. Is George W. Bush a white man? Yeah. Yes, he is. Is Bill Clinton a white man? Yes, he is. Is milquetoast moderate Mitt Romney a white man? Yes, he is. But I'm more interested in the corruption. I'm more interested in why all these other groups, you can break them down and name them however you want to, why blacks and Latinos and Asians and Middle Easterns and whoever else, I'm more interested in why we are so willing to accept the corruption. Even furthermore, we're willing to accept a BS scapegoat like race. Oh, races. And I've been saying this since the beginning. I can't stand when people in the conservative movement say, well, we need to stop talking about race. Don't bring up race. We don't need to be talking about race, because they feel bullied and pressured by the narrative around race and racism of white people. So the white conservative goes, we don't need to talk about race. Oh, yes, we do. We're going to talk about the way race has been used to manipulate and bully the conversation until the cows come home. That's exactly what we need to be talking about. We don't need to shy away from it. Let's talk about it. We have to talk about it. We need to talk. We need to name names. We need to tie to say it the way that they say it. You say you're the black community, then you're the black community. You say you're Somali, like the young man in the video. You want to brag about being a Somali living off the American taxpayer? Well, then we're going to call you Somali. We're going to say you're a Somali scumbag. And if any of the Somalis have a problem with it, feel free to come talk to me. I'm not hard to find. You feel free to come and talk to me about it. And I'll hold that video up right in front of you and say, you agree with what this young man is saying? And if you do, I'll spit at your feet like the scumbag that you are. But I'm equal opportunity with it, because I'm compelled to spit at the feet of some of these rhino establishment Republicans, too, who say, Mike Lindell isn't a good candidate. He can't win. He can't appeal to moderate, suburban, white, liberal women. We can't run Mike Lindell because he can't appeal to suburban white women. He's just too controversial. I want to spit at their feet the same way. And I see the corollary. There is a link between the fraud that has taken place in Minnesota under Tim Walz and the controlled opposition Republicans who refuse to stand up and stand on their soapbox and say, this is wrong. 100% with no equivocations, this is wrong. They were afraid because all of these election experts, all of these consultants that come from D.C. who are under the tutelage of Karl Rove say, you got to do the math. Where's the math? Where's the path to victory? You're going to need some of those Somali votes. You don't want to disenfranchise all the Somalis to the Republican Party platform. So maybe you don't use the word Somali. Maybe you just use the word fraud. No, we're going to say Somali fraud. Somali fraud. You see how easy that is? And it's not lost on me that if the fraud was in the black community, nobody would have a problem saying black people's fraud. And black people shouldn't have a problem with it either, because you are the net result. Again, I said this before, but I'll continue to say it. When you elect people to represent you, when you choose people to represent you, when you participate in your community and you have given over representation, even to community leaders at a much more local, smaller level, they represent you. When your children leave the house, they represent you. You cannot hold up your race and your identity and your community and your success and then say it's racism in your failures. As a black community, we hold up certain individuals, like let's say a LeBron James, for example, for lack of a better example. LeBron James, black excellence. Look at all of his success, his financial wealth, his accolades in the NBA. And they are great. He's had an incredible career in the NBA. Nobody can take that away from him. And he's made a lot of money. hasn't spoken the truth too many times when it comes to politics, but we'll save that for another conversation. The point is, we hold him up and we say, this is an example of black excellence. But when the homicide rate in black communities is 10 times the white community, when the homicide rate between black men is 10 times the homicide rate between white men, we say, oh, that's racism. No, no, no. You can't say that that's the black community. That doesn't represent the whole community. That tells you you're superficial. That tells you you're a puppet. That tells you you're a sellout. That tells you you're only in politics or culture or conversation for the theatrics, for what it can do for you, not for the truth. If you only hold yourself or your identity up in your success and you don't take accountability in your failures, you are a coward. Like here, let me give you an example. The Catholic Church has done a number of great things around the world. But the pedophilia was a problem. As a Catholic man, I can say that. It's not uncomfortable for me to say that. It's just true. The Catholic Church is important. The Catholic faith is important. I have pride in being a Catholic. But the Catholic Church has some problems. The deep church. We have problems in the Catholic Church. Big problems. Evil problems. And there was a problem with the pedophilia in the Catholic Church. And there may still be. There probably still is in some corners, in some places. Maybe just doing a better job of hiding it these days. Who knows? Time will tell. We'll find out. But when we find that information out, that we don't say, oh, well, you guys are being bigoted towards Catholics. Huh? There were priests molesting little boys under the guise of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the house of the Lord, why would we ever shy away from taking full accountability and responsibility for that transgression, that sin? And at the same time, we're not going to let white liberals, Democrats, leftists, Marxists, atheists say there's no legitimacy to the Catholic faith or the Catholic Church at all because of the pedophilia. Uh-uh. And this is what I mean about calling the balls and strikes. These things aren't as complex as they seem. Everybody just wants to play a game. And like Alex Jones said, we're done with the games. We don't have time for games anymore. We had our run. The managed decline of the West, the CCP is now on the rise with a trail of Western receipts. Your money going to the Somali community. And they brag about it right out in the open. We're not going to let these people tell us that our flaws, that our mistakes, that our shortcomings are justification for our self-destruction. We're not empathomanic. We don't have suicidal empathy. We're realists. We see what the problems are. We've diagnosed the problems. We're going to get rid of the corruption. But first, you need honest people in office. Venture to say I'm one of them. 2026 is going to be providential. Minnesota, ground zero. All eyes are on the belly of the beast. And I'm happy that I'm here to be able to fight on the front line. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
President Trump was cooking at McDonald's the other day and giving people french fries. And people criticized me and they said, well, you know, he's out there giving fast food. And I said, I don't have anything against fast food. I'm against food that has seed oils. When I was a kid, McDonald's was made with tallow fat. That was good for you. Your body needs that. It makes you healthy.
It's great.
Why aren't we making with tallow fat again?
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity.
The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
People are raving about these french fries. You taste them.
They're amazing. They really are.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard ROK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed, from thealexjonesstore.com. And it is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com. No preservatives, no artificial ingredients, gluten-free, packed with nutrients, unlike seed oils, which are fake toxic garbage. Beef tallow is real food that promotes whole body health and is so good for your brain. And 25% off right now. Beef tallow is 100% pure beef fat concentrated, packed with vitamins like A, D, E, and K to support hormone health and fuels your brain with clean energy. No industrial processing, used by humans forever. No additives, preservatives, or GMO garbage. High smoke point to support various cooking methods like frying, roasting, or baking without releasing toxic fumes or free-range free radicals. Rich, clean flavor. Ladies and gentlemen, it's night and day. Beef tallow is the best. We've got a private label, one of the top brands in the country at thealexjonesstore.com. We are so excited about this. And again, Kennedy talks about the health effects, talks about how delicious it is. I remember until the 90s, the best places, you know, you get french fries at McDonald's, where they went total GMO, fried their fries in beef tallow. And God, did they taste good. So it's also totally delicious. You fund the operation. And cows that God gave us are amazing. We also have our bovine colostrum is a private label of the highest quality, 2,000 milligrams per scoop with other natural herb compounds, the marshmallow root that accelerates it, and it's the first 2 weeks of any mammal, including humans, isn't what you think of as milk. It's basically clear, and it's full of all of these super nutrients that boost your immune system, that grow your brain, that help your cells, that energize everything. It's literally the first mother's milk concentrated. Big discounts on it right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And there's so many other amazing products there as well. We have the new creatine gummies that are the highest quality type of creatine, concentrated 5 milligrams per gummy. Everybody knows about creatine for your muscles and working out, your heart and stuff, but the brain effects and with your nerve endings, it is truly incredible. So be sure and check that out as well. Our new creatine gummies in 2 different flavors. It's a really great deal, a huge container of them for a low price. And then talk about your mitochondria, your cells, skipping multiple oxidation processes in the cells, cleaning them out, getting fast, clean energy with no letdown. And that's just the first effects. And everything else for your brain, your body, it is amazing. The workouts, Ultra Methylene Blue. We have the best medical grade. You've heard me talk about it. You've heard the rave reviews. You're insane if you don't get it. And yes, the third shipment, both have been small, which is very hard to make. It's got so many great ingredients. Proprietary Methylene Red. Look at what's in it. Look up each ingredient. Ask Brock about it. Ask your doctor about it. Ultra Methylene Red, a limited shipment, just came in today.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm your guest host for the evening. And this is our last 30 minutes. We're honored, as always, to be able to guest host anytime Alex Jones needs me on Sunday evening. Anytime Alex Jones needs me, I'm here. I'm here because he's been fighting for 30 years. The things that he was saying back then, the things he was saying 30 years ago, the things he was saying 30 days ago, they just continue to turn out to be true. And the mainstream media continues to gaslight the American people and say, Alex Jones is crazy. How can you think you're going to win a United States Senate seat and you're aligning yourself with radicals like Alex Jones? Because I have huge American balls. That's why. And the truth doesn't scare me. When we really get down to the bottom of this whole deal, the problem with American culture is that the truth scares a lot of Americans. A lot of American citizens are afraid of the truth. They can't handle it. Or let's say they don't believe they can handle it. Their intuition is to shy away from the truth. That's starting to change now. But what we're living through now would have never happened had it not been for people like Alex Jones. That's anytime he calls, anytime I'm here. They can use this clip. They can use me being a guest host as what they call opposition research and run the clips until the cows come home. You put me up against Peggy. Bring the video back up of Peggy Flanagan. Let's do a side by side. I want to do a side by side. Bring the hostage video back up of Peggy Flanagan with the Somali community leaders there. Let's get a side by side going. Put me up against these people any day of the week, any day of any week, of any month, of any year. And you get the government you deserve. If the people of Minnesota, there you go. Here, let's put me straight on. These are your choices. Minnesota. These are your choices. Native American, Irish Catholic, Lieutenant Governor under the very fraud that's being broken, pandering to the exact community responsible for the fraud. They're in on it together, and she wears the hijab to justify the rigged outcome of the elections come 2026. This is going to be the next United States senator from the great state of Minnesota? Are you kidding me? And we'll look back on it afterward. After all the fake votes are tallied, after all the dirty voter rolls are in, we'll look back on it and the Minnesota Republican Party establishment will say, well, Royce just wasn't a good enough candidate. And we'll believe him. Some of us will believe it. Not a lot of people in this audience, obviously, but the net of American citizens, it seems, will believe it. And as I'm as big on election integrity as they come. I say the number one priority is election integrity. Your average slot machine at a local casino has a better chain of custody than your average voter machine. That's a problem. That should concern every single American citizen, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, doesn't matter. Your average slot machine at a local casino has a better chain of custody than your average voter machine. That's about as despicable for a nation as not having a border. In fact, the two are the same. Not having a border and not having secure elections is one and the same. But the question is, do we accept the narrative? Do we, the American people, accept it? And there are huge portions that I see online, and you never know because it's online. You don't know if you're working with Chinese bots or whatever the case may be. But I do see people who I know are real people who make this argument. They say, you got to run stronger candidates. When they say stronger candidates, they mean candidates who will lie in order to get elected. That's become the prerequisite. Back to my clip from the cold open in the first hour. The prerequisite is that politicians become enmeshed in the corruption of the machine. We tell our politicians not to sell out, but deep down we expect them to. And we expect them to sell out because there's something in it for us. It's the same thing I said on the PBS Frontline interview about the Somali community as a whole. Guy asked me, Mike is the reporter. He asked me, he says, well, you say that, that tyranny is convenient. Well, what do you mean tyranny is convenient? It's not convenient for the Somali man who was mistaken for an illegal when he was really legal. I say to him, it's convenient for the Somali community as a whole. Well, what do you mean? How is it convenient? It's convenient for the government to be bigger than it's supposed to be because they take the subsidies. And it's the same as the black community. And by and large, it's the same as the entire American populace. As long as the federal government can run an economic Ponzi scheme that perceptionally raises the base wealth of the American people more through superficial radical materialism than any real substance, as long as that's the case, we will accept the tyranny. We will accept the corruption. We will accept that our politicians, that our D.C. elites are nothing but backstabbing baron robbers. We conceded that. We continued to vote for the Mitt Romneys and the Mitch McConnells and the Lindsey Grahams. I don't care what President Trump says. Nobody in South Carolina should vote for Lindsey Graham. With all due respect, Mr. President, you know I support you 100%, and I don't know exactly why you need to endorse Lindsey Graham, and I don't really care at this point. The bottom line is nobody who believes in this movement, the MAGA movement, the America First movement, nobody who believes in having a country or saving this republic should vote for Lindsey Graham in South Carolina. And let's just broaden the scope. People say, well, Royce, even if you get in the United States Senate, you're only one man. I'm only one man until the American people say enough is enough. That's all that has to happen, and it could happen in one election. Do we need a 60-40 majority in the U.S. Senate to change this country? No. No, all we need is 15 to 20 patriots to swing the majority. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Karl Rove. Put that in your political expert pipe and smoke it, Karl Scumbag Rove. We don't need a 60-40 majority. We just need 15 to 20 America First patriots that can swing the majority. And if all other 80 United States senators want to team up against the America Firsters, let's call it the America First Caucus in the United States Senate. If the other 80 senators decide to team up against the 20 America First Caucus senators, then I guess we all see what's really going on, don't we? But we have to be brave enough to take that plunge into the darkness, into the wilderness, into uncertainty, uncharted territory. We have to be the American people, the will of the people. We the people have to be willing to take that plunge into the unknown. So right now, all we should be thinking about in the America First movement is, where are the vulnerable United States senators? Where are the vulnerable races? Because we're going to get 15 to 20 America Firsters in 2026. We're not waiting to 2028. In 2026, some of you globalist U.S. senators are getting a primary. Apropos to what I'm talking about right here, I just received a little bit of a note here on X where, and there's a video. I'm going to post it for you. I should play it for you, but I'm just going to tell you the shorthand of what's said, okay? Tom Emmer, back in 2015, was in a town hall in St. Cloud, Minnesota, and he says to the citizens of St. Cloud that they have to take as many Somalis as they can, whether they like it or not, because America. He called the Somalis the fastest assimilating immigrant group and says they are just like the Germans. A few weeks after this, he founded the Somali Caucus in the House of Representatives alongside current Attorney General Keith Ellison. Tom Emmer, House Majority Whip. He's a Never Royster. Can we call him a Never Royster? Is that a good term? Tom Emmer, the Never Royster. Doesn't like Royce at all. Doesn't like me. Didn't endorse me. I'm going up against Amy Klobuchar, one of the most well-funded Democrats and corrupt, it would appear, allegedly corrupt Democrats, smurfing, campaign contributions to the tune of $10 million, allegedly. We'll see. Going up against radical leftist Amy Klobuchar and Tom, the House Majority Whip Emmer, wouldn't even endorse me in the general election. There is the face of deception, ladies and gentlemen. But he comes into the Republican State Convention and the crowd goes wild because we love to see a Minnesota congressman have such a high status there in the DC swamp. I mean, for God's sakes, he's the House Majority Whip. We love that one of our own from right here in Minnesota has made it to the top of the heap in the dung hole known as Washington, D.C. So he comes into these Republican Party conventions and the entire crowd stands and claps and hang their nose because half of them know but they stand and clap anyway out of respect for Congressman Emmer. And I just sit there in the back like this. I just sit there in the back and I smile and I shake my head. And I try to get eye contact with Tom Emmer every time I get a chance. Then I just shake my head and I smile. And after Tom's done speaking, I come up and I go, the Rhino establishment is the problem. And about half of the room goes, yeah, you know, he's right. And that is the battle. That's the fight we're in. Tom Emmer comes into the Minnesota Republican State Convention. We will never abandon Israel. And the crowd goes, ah. And I just shake my head and smile. I go, is that all he has to say? Is that all he has to say? How do the Jewish Americans here in Minnesota, how do the Jewish residents of Minnesota, of the greater Twin Cities, feel about a young Somali man joking that all of us have to pay taxes so that he can live free, and Tom Emmer being at the start of this entire immigration process? And I don't mean back to the 90s when they first started coming, but I mean, you know, more recently when the narrative got, you know, took root. You got to go back to when the narrative takes root. The narrative takes root when the immigration is unchallenged. And then all of a sudden an opportunistic politician stands up and goes, you know what? I think this will be good for my political expediency. So instead of saying there's a problem with this whole deal, there's a problem with the military industrial complex, there's a problem with our foreign entanglements, there's a problem with us dipping our nose in everybody else's business and then taking their refugees as some type of international quid pro quo. There's a problem with these things. Instead of doing that, I say, let me form the Somali caucus. The Somalis are the fastest assimilating group in America. They're just like the Germans. They're just like the Germans. Congressman Emmer? The Germans, huh? Which Germans are you talking about exactly? Which Germans are you referring to? Oh, never mind. We'll save that for another Sunday. Fraud running rampant in Minnesota, and it's providential. If you're out there across the country, if you're in Minnesota, understand these things are providential. All of the corruption, all of the muck in the pus under that boil, we're lancing that boil. All of it's coming to the surface. Your grandmother used to tell you got a boil, you get to take you a hot pack and you place it on that boil that you place it on there and you let that pus rise to the surface. And that's what President Trump did. Like him or not, love him or hate him, agree, disagree. The MAGA movement placed a hot pack on a boil of this country, of the D.C. swamp, of the deep state, of the globalist agenda. The MAGA movement placed a hot pack right on that boil, and now the America First movement is going to come and lance that boil. Yours truly. People keep saying, why don't you move to a red state? Move to a state that's more MAGA. Move to Texas or Oklahoma or Florida or Tennessee. Or move somewhere where you can just, you know, walk right into a House seat. You don't abandon your post. You don't run. You don't retreat. You don't take a single back step. I'm 34 years old. 34. Now, I get that our founding fathers, the patriots who helped found this country, were even younger than I am. When they helped build this country, when they defeated the British Empire, when we declared our independence, I understand that. 34 is not young, but it certainly isn't old. And if I can help save this state, then I will. And I'll give my life to do it. And every last one of us, anybody listening to this, has to ask themselves, are you ready to give your life to save this country? Because that's where we are in the game now. That's where we are. That's the moment we're in now in this nation's history. You are the patriots at Yorktown. But you have to make a decision. And it's all of us, even the Democrats. even the Democrats, some of you have to just come on into the light. I know it feels good when the white liberal woman like Peggy Flanagan, pull the Peggy Flanagan hostage video up again. But can't play this enough. It's like Christmas. It's like political Christmas. The greatest fraud in the recent history of Minnesota. And she triples down with the Somali leaders and shows up in a hijab. You're talking about a Native American Catholic woman who professes to be a trans kid activist and obviously a feminist as well. And I never got the alliance between the Sharia law Muslims or Islam and the radical feminists. I never understood how they find common ground. Because certainly Peggy Flanagan doesn't believe that women should be submissive to their husbands. I mean, come on, what a joke. The modern day American leftist feminist believes that men are the leaders of their household. That men are the authority, the natural God ordained authority of their families. This is what Peggy Flanagan believes, because that's what the hijab represents. It represents a sort of humility of the woman, that I'm only going to show the better parts of myself to my husband because I'm submissive to his role as an authority in our marriage and in life. Peggy Flanagan doesn't believe in that. And by that measure, her wearing the hijab is completely theatrical, as if we didn't already know that the entire Democrat motif is completely theatrical. And I just put a call out to the rest of the Democrats in the country. Aren't you tired of being, are you not embarrassed? Are you not embarrassed? Apropos to the point I made earlier about communities and demographics of people being named by their demographic, by their race, by their group that they self-identify as. Okay, you want to identify as black? Then when we start saying black people, don't get offended. You want to say you're Catholic or Christian or Muslim or Jewish? When we start saying your name and your group by the name that you chose, don't get offended. Let me ask the Democrats, are you not embarrassed? Because when I hear what Tom Emmer said back in 2015 as a Republican candidate, I'm embarrassed. When I see Lindsey Graham get up there at, what was it? Was it AmFest or was it a Turning Point event? I forgot where he was. But he got up there and he said, "We're killing all the right people," with his little, you know, effeminate, goofy laugh. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed by Lindsey Graham. I'm embarrassed by Mitt Romney. I'm embarrassed by Liz Cheney. I was embarrassed by Dick Cheney. I'm embarrassed by George Bush. I can say that as a Republican, I'm embarrassed by these people. Are you not embarrassed by Peggy Flanagan? Are you not embarrassed by Tim Walz? You're really gonna toe a party line so hard. You're so loyal. Such a dogmatic belief in the Democrat Party. You're not embarrassed by these things? That's what I mean when I said there are no party lines anymore. Because there's enough embarrassment on both sides of the aisle. And I'm not making a false equivalency between Republicans and Democrats. I'm really not. The fundamental difference between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, theoretically, philosophically, is that the Republican Party at current at least pretends there's room for God in our culture. And I do say pretend for a reason. But pretending that there's room for God in the culture at least allows the Christian to make room for God in the culture. The Democrats have stomped out room for God in Christianity in this culture, which is completely unacceptable. Especially if you're going to go before the American people or Minnesotans and wear a hijab. So Christianity is not acceptable, but Sharia law is. Spit on the floor. You make me sick. Spit on the floor. You people make me sick. You disgust me. You should be embarrassed. You should be ashamed of yourselves. It should be hard for you to even look in the mirror, to even stomach the sight of your own corrupt face. You all are scumbags. But I hope that I can appeal to some of the Democrats that still have some sacred honor. Sure, you know, you have social liberal views, or, you know, you believe in some of these charities and programs for some of the poor. I get it. I get it. People want to be charitable. They want to be generous. They want to be altruistic and humanitarian. I understand that. And I do think that our American community, as we deconstruct the administrative state and we shrink the federal government, which is another fundamental tenet, theoretically, of the Republican Party and the difference between us and the Democrats, at least in theory, as we deconstruct the administrative state and shrink the federal government, America is going to have to pick up the necessary Christian charity in the gap. I'm working on that now, working on a food program, a real food program in the state of Minnesota, not a Feeding Our Future scam, a real food program. Because in America, we do waste 2/3 of the food that we produce. 2/3 of the food that we produce in America goes to waste. It gets thrown in the garbage. That's a matter of logistics. That's a matter of logistics. It's not a matter of production. So we should be able to get close to expiring food to people who would otherwise go hungry. That's a perfectly legitimate thing to do. That's a perfectly legitimate thing to be charitable in. But when we say we're feeding kids that don't exist, that's not charity. That's called fraud. It's not charity. It's fraud. And there's a difference. And the problem with it is we, the conservative movement, the Christian community in this country, has abnegated the charity in many ways. We gave it to NGOs, right, that are just about as fraudulent as the rest of the bunch. But we abnegated the real duty of real charity. And of course, when you give it to Tim Walz and the socialists and the communists and the Marxists, they're going to do with it what they do with everything else. They're going to do with it what they do with everything else, what they've done with this country. They've tried to destroy this country. They want to see it burn. They want to go down with it. They have a real sadomasochism. They're nihilistic about life itself. We're not going down with you. We're done. We're done with the managed decline of the West. We're done with the nihilism. We're done with the sadomasochism. We're done with the suicidal empathy. We're not going down with the ship. The next American Revolution has begun. Thank you for tuning in this Sunday evening. Thank you to Alex Jones and the entire InfoWars crew for having me guest host again. I can't wait until next time. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll see you next time. Godspeed.
I didn't plug last hour because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here, because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, fruit punch and in freedom mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? Emperor Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustain energy, enhance blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine. Relax, wake up, clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6, and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I remember Palpatine on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product, or make it better, for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong, tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the fruit punch flavor. And by the way, today's one of the last days where you can get 60% off on ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more at thealexjonesshow.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number 4 straight ahead.